coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio. Located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman on this Monday, January 9th, 2023 edition. I'm Doug Hagman, your host. I'm going to be, there's just a lot of information to get into. We're going to be hearing from people like Trevor Loudon, Sam Faddis, and Peter Schweitzer today in this episode. We're going to be talking about a number of things, including but not limited to the injecticide that we've been, we've all had our eye on, the number of excess deaths, mortality related to that. And of course, Fauci's denials. We're going to touch on some international news. Brazil included in that, what's happening down there. I'm going to tell you right now, is the template for what just happened on January 6th. Well, I mean, the template in, how can I put this? What is taking place in Brazil. Now, this is according to people that I've been in contact with over the last 72 hours, specifically the last really 12 down there. The violence is orchestrated. I mean, if you would take January 6th and compare it to what's going on in Brazil, you would find some of the same players, some of the same game plays. If this was a football game, and I mean, it's just almost identical. And as will be the response, I suspect, some attacks on our food supply in a way, and you're not going to believe this, in a way that, well, you might not have heard this before, or at least not recently. And then, of course, hey, who's Biden working for? Who is the Biden regime working for? Buckle up for that, because that is going to just knock your socks off, if you're wearing any, or knock your Birkenstocks off. I'm not sure which. If you're listening to this, that's all right. Never mind. But first, I want to get into this. This on the injecticide, this I think is important. A lead author of peer-reviewed research, their reanalysis of the clot shots, the injecticide, oh, that magic potion of whatever contaminants and killing juice. Yes, that stuff. The person that did the initial analysis and trials on mRNA vaccine, that, and vaccine is their word, not mine. Of course, we know it's not a vaccine. Joseph Freeman calls for immediate suspension due to serious harms. You've got to see this. This is a guy that was, you know, once on board, once touting this, once saying, hey, look, everything is fine. Roll up your sleeve, get this, and shut up. Now, let's hear what he's got to say. This is video 6 from our show prep. If you go to HagmanReport.com, two N's on Hagman, HagmanReport.com, and please bookmark the Hagman Report and bookmark and subscribe to Rumble and Brighty on both. You can comment on Rumble. Share this if you feel so inclined. Share this on your social media feed, wherever that might be, this program. Tell others about this program. Help us out by doing so. That always gives us a boost. But check this out. Some regrets. I've had a few. Yeah, Frank Sinatra. Watch this.
Hello, my name is Dr. Joseph Freeman. I'm an emergency physician based in Louisiana. In addition, I am a clinical scientist. I was the lead author of a peer-reviewed study that reanalyzed the original Pfizer and Moderna clinical trials for the messenger RNA COVID-19 vaccines. We found the vaccine increased serious adverse events at a rate of 1 in 800. At the time of publication, my co-authors and I did not believe our single study warranted the withdrawal of the messenger RNA vaccines from the market. However, since its publication, multiple new pieces of evidence have come to light, and this has caused me to reevaluate my position. An article published in the BMJ regarding the FDA's own observational surveillance data found the messenger RNAs were associated with multiple of the exact same serious adverse events identified in our original study. But the FDA had failed to inform the public of these findings. In addition, now we have multiple autopsy studies that find essentially conclusive evidence that the vaccines are inducing sudden cardiac deaths, yet the rate of these vaccine-induced deaths remains unknown. While many nations that have been using the messenger RNA vaccines have experienced an increase in excess mortality, more people dying than should be expected from past years. And this correlates in time with the initial vaccine rollout and then with the subsequent booster campaigns. Nations with higher messenger RNA vaccine uptake have correlations with higher rates of excess mortality. While the cause of this excess mortality is not known, researchers analyzing this data were unable to identify any other reasonable cause of the excess death other than the vaccines. Given now that Omicron variant is less virulent and is able to evade much of the protection offered by the vaccines, this creates a situation where the benefits of the vaccine have been dramatically reduced for hospitalization and death. Together, this information calls into question if the vaccine's benefits are outweighing the harm. I believe, given the information, the messenger RNA vaccines need to be withdrawn from the market until new randomized controlled trials can clearly demonstrate the benefits of the vaccine outweigh the serious harm we now know the vaccines are causing.
I'm telling you, there is blood on the hands of many. There will be more and more people dropping dead. I've got more on this as well. If you go page 3 on our show notes, again, at HagmanReport.com, you can open this up and follow along with this. This at American Thinker. This by Dr. Brian Jundeff. I believe that's how you pronounce his name. He's an MD. And if you read this, now this is a guy that's fully boosted, okay? So he's really not anti-shot. But it's interesting what he writes. In the United States right now, 80% of the population has received one dose and 68% two doses. Yet almost 3 years into this plandemic scamdemic, the recent headline from ABC News suggests that there is no end in sight. The World Health Organization sounds the alarm. New COVID variants, the most transmissible yet. And you can see the late night people who are getting paid to push this narrative, talking about this. You can see others talking about this. The Washington Post cautions COVID hospitalizations are rising, you know, even after the holidays, post-Thanksgiving, post-Christmas, post-New Year's. They're rising. Now, CDC Director Rochelle Walensky, again, all of these people need to be held to account, in April of 2021, told everyone, that's you and me, that our data from the CDC today suggests that vaccinated people do not carry the virus. They don't get sick. Okay, you want to rephrase that? You want to rethink that, Rochelle? You're the medical doctor. You want to double down on it. What are you going to do? And how about those people out there, the non-scientists, but the social influencers, whether it be on the forums or on social media, pushing for these shots, these injections, especially for our children? Are you kidding me? You have blood on your hands and you must, absolutely must pay. It takes me back to that article from The Atlantic about, well, we can, you know, we need to have amnesty and we need to talk. And say, no, we don't. You need to be put on trial. The challenges, any challenges to what Walensky and Fauci and other people say about this, remember back in 2021, we were deemed anti-vaccine disinformation. This from this article from American Thinker. Yet most, you know, wouldn't you say, look, this clot shot stops the spread, the transmission. of COVID-19, this bioweapon, and people need to understand it is a bioweapon. Okay. Well, it doesn't. And physicians, the thing that I'm really just torqued about, doctors, your doctor, my doctor, perhaps, right? Never question. They don't question the initial and incorrect assertion as told by Walensky back in 2021. Now, on their website, the CDC states that COVID-19 vaccines are safe and effective. Fauci, that garden gnome piece of crap, told us that vaccinated people essentially become dead ends for the virus to spread within their communities. How wrong is he? Do you think he's... Is he doing a mea culpa right now? No, he's doubling down. Oh, stay tuned for that. Regarding safety, myocarditis, VAERS data notes 25,000 cases post-vaccine. Steve Kirsch calculated the VAERS underreporting rate as a factor of 41, meaning there could be a million or more cases of myocarditis, many subclinical, not showing yet. If any other medical product yielded such a safety signal, doctors across the world would be certainly asking questions, yet you're not allowed to ask questions even today. Well, you better be. And every one of you out there, and I'm telling you right now, you guys can do what you want. All right, everyone out there. But if you're out there and your job, if you are required by your job to get this injection, just say no. Believe me, you're not going to be alone. Have the guts. Have the guts to say no. And have the guts to challenge anyone from your own family members to your own physician to say, hey, wait a second, you told me one thing. Now look at the numbers. You're part of the problem. You've got blood on your hands. Stop acquiescing to it. Stop acquiescing to these individuals. We have been labeled as misinformation, as vile, as conspiracy theorists, as the article states, leading to media censorship, potential loss of employment or medical license. How friggin' dare the AMA and other medical organizations do that? When in the course of our country's history have we, the people, allowed this to happen? And then we've got Damar Hamlin's collapse. You're going to be hearing Fauci's response about this. I want to crack him upside the head. Now, of course, you know, I'm angry, right? So, folks, that's not a threat, okay? I'm just saying that it just makes me, I'm angry about this. I want to, but I'm not, but I want to. Damar Hamlin's recent collapse at the recent NFL game. Look, no one knows why this happened. So writes Brian Judeff in the article here, we need to ask and think. If it's attributed to commotio cordis, we had fun with that Latin phrase, Eric the Tech and I, in a previous program, as virtually all the corporate media, they're insisting that's the case, then questions must be considered, such as why, in a football hit that occurs multiple times per game, in hundreds of games per year, in 100-year NFL history, has this not happened previously? Oh, but it has. Yeah, once I remember in 1937. Yeah, shut up. Quit trying to fool others or fool yourself. Ask the questions. And we can ask the questions. And we should demand answers. There are multiple possible causes for Damar's cardiac arrest, but to just outright dismiss certain possibilities out of hand because they're politically incorrect is a disservice to every professional football player in America who, if they got the shot, must be wondering if this could happen to them. And I bet you they are. Good medicine is asking questions and forming a differential diagnosis, ruling out possibilities based on science, not on politics. No one gets a pass on this. And I don't care if it's from Trump or whoever, no one should get a pass on this. And I expect this Congress, in fact, I demand from my congressman to hold meaningful hearings and hold to account Walensky, Fauci, and Collins, and every single individual who have had their hands in this pie. Demand answers. I would urge you to read the entire article on American Thinker. You know, you've got mass lockdowns and this bullcrap social distancing. And by the way, social distancing goes back to 2004, a BS experiment back in 04, not from some high school kid, but nonetheless. Nonetheless, the survey, I want to just go back to the article just for a second here because I want to cover this. A survey by Steve Kirsch found that sudden death is the number one cause of death among those under the age of 65 who got the COVID jab. This is the number one cause of death among those under the age of 65 is sudden death. Whoops. Every single day. I'm not going to play the most recent media person to go, you know, toes up on screen, pass out or whatever, get sick. But you can find it. Just check any social media of your choice. You'll see it. And people are still wondering why. Stop it. By the way, three young Massachusetts police officers passed away suddenly in the last week or so. You've got, UK, in the UK, ONS whistleblower reveals massive spike in excess deaths since the rollout of the vax, more than 1,000 a week. More than 1,000 a week. And no one's asking questions? There are also two ABC News producers aged 28 and 37 that died suddenly and unexpectedly. Is sudden death now perfectly normal? And if you question otherwise, it's a conspiracy theory? Stop it. Stop it. Have some integrity. I remember when I was in a seminary, minor seminary back in, oh my gosh, 100 years ago. I had a priest walk me around the grounds of the seminary and we were talking about integrity. He looked at me and he said, you know, integrity, once lost, you'll never get it back. I'm telling you, the integrity of people. Now, obviously we're talking about criminals here. In my view, we're talking about criminals. But think about that. I remember that conversation so well because it was my final day there, my final day of classes at the seminary. It was after the class and I asked to talk to him and actually, he asked to talk to me as well about a few things, and we walked the grounds. It was a brisk spring day, and there it was. You know, you'll never get that integrity back. If doctors are not curious about any of this, if your doctor isn't worried about this, fire him or her. I know doctors personally right now in my city, my community, who have quit doctoring, who have quit because of this. I know nurses who have quit. I know. So I'm telling you, you can have the same tenacity and, more importantly, the same integrity as they do. So what does Fauci say about things like the NFL player that essentially died on the field after a hit? Like, we've seen hits like that for 100 years, hundreds of games, as that article stated. Let's hear what Fauci's got to say. I'm not sure I can make it through the entire video, but the link will be in the program description box. How about this garden gnome? Do you think he's saying, well, maybe we should stop and take a look, and maybe we should investigate a little bit further? Well, here, listen for yourself. Video 7.
Dr. Fauci, I don't know if you saw it, but on Monday Night Football this week, DeMar Hamlin, a player for the Buffalo Bills, collapsed on the field. You're not an NFL expert, and you're not an expert on any cardiovascular issues the player might have had. But what I want to ask you about, Dr. Fauci, is, as I want to do in moments like that, I kept an eye on Twitter. And I can't tell you exactly how many minutes transpired, but it was less than 20 before people on Twitter began to say, well, clearly the vaccine caused his seizure.
Right.
And that had a multiplier effect on Twitter, as these things tend to do. What's your reaction to that?
Well, my reaction is one of concern about...
Isn't it horror? Borderline? More than concern?
Yeah, it's horror that misinformation and disinformation, when you have a platform like social media that exponentially spreads in its best form, proper and important and value-added information can spread, which is good.
Yes.
Pause this for a second. Pause this. I got to interject here. No, the horror is what you are causing. These softball lobbed questions. You should, first of all, that interviewer should be ashamed of himself. And Fauci, you've got blood on your hands, and the horror is in the family, in the faces of the family. The horror are in the faces of the people who watched it happen at your hand, at your hand. Go ahead.
And as a physician and a scientist, and my identity as a physician is the thing that gets pained the most by that. Because what that means, Major, is that yet again another conspiracy theory, complete nonsense, is going to have some people make a decision for themselves and their family not to get vaccinated, which may cost them their lives. So that's the thing that's so horrible about it. And if you want to go out spouting nonsense, conspiracy theories, and spreading it all around, fine, except if it results in a person suffering and perhaps dying. And that's what happens when disinformation disincentivizes people
to get proper off. Let me ask you this. Well, what about the horror and death of those who received your joy juice and suffered myocarditis and or clots, clotting? What about the autopsies? What about the funeral directors? What about the doctors who've come out, the 17,000 plus doctors who've come out on record and saying, wait a minute, there's something really bad wrong with all of this? And then you've got these paid people who are paid to push back against this. Understand this, and this leads me into the international part of this. As I've said from the beginning, this is a bioweapon. The SARS-CoV-2 is a bioweapon, in part, created in part by the United States, by the National Institute of Health, but by Francis Collins with his imprimatur, by Anthony Fauci, by Ralph Baric at the University of Chapel Hill, North Carolina, University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, by Peter Daszak, Echo Health Alliance, with funding from, get this, USAID, as well as other places via NIH. And this was, of course, brewed up in Wuhan. And it was released, whether intentional or not. This is a bioweapon. The narrative, the cover story, is nothing but a bunch of crap. You know it. I know it. But hey, let's have an investigation, a meaningful investigation. My view is, based on my research, my talking to people that have been on air, off air, is that China, well, the globalists, okay, the unelected globalists are behind this. And of course, China is part of this. Now, this brings me to something really interesting. This past summer, there was a webinar, and I've been waiting to bring this out. There was a webinar. Let me grab this here because I want to. There it is right here. There was a webinar done, Frank Gaffney. I'm going to tell you right now, the information, the collective information, I want you to hear from Trevor Loudon, I want you to hear from Peter Schweitzer, and I want you to hear from Sam Faddis from this single webinar that was done. Now, there have been webinars done after this, but before this, but this one in particular has some pretty interesting information. In the shadow, now think about this, in the context of what we just saw with the House of Representatives, there are some things with Kevin McCarthy being nominated, okay, as Speaker after 15 votes or on the 15th vote, 14th, 15th, whatever it was, something that hasn't happened in 200 years. You can see the pushback now growing. But there are answers to questions, I believe, in this webinar that people have been asking, and this clarifies a lot. You know, is communist China, what's their role in this globalist agenda? Well, the globalist agenda, at least based on my investigation and research, is the fact that we are going to be locked down, locked up, and imprisoned in the model of communist China. But don't take my word for it. Let's have some luminaries like Trevor Loudon, like Peter Schweitzer, and let me show you some evidence about how bad things are right now. In the wake, again, consider this in the context of in the wake of the speaker vote, which I'm going to show you how it relates to what's going on right now. Let's go to clip number one. This is at the toward the end of the conference or at the webinar, but this is Trevor Loudon on the globalist superstate. Who are we really fighting? What's going on? Is it Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum? Yes, but is there more? Yes. Watch this.
The New World Order, the globalists, and then they talk about China, then they talk about Russia. And some people even think Russia is an opposing force against this. I see them as all part of the whole cloth. You know, you could look at it, Russia and China being the enforcement wing of the new globalist superstate. I actually think they are the leaders of it. I think it's no accident that Klaus Schwab has a bust of Lenin in his office. You know, you see documentaries and here's Lenin right behind him, not George Washington or Abraham Lincoln, not even Jimmy Carter, you know, or Bill Clinton. This is Lenin. And so, yeah, the model for the globalist superstate right now is communist China, a strong centralized government on a worldwide basis, with at least for a while the existence of business. You know, the old Russian, the old Soviet model was very inefficient. And the modern globalists, the Bill Gateses of the world, they regard the communist Chinese model as much, much more to their liking because it allows for business. And they believe they're going to, you know, work together with the Communist Party to keep the peasants in line while they all get rich. I think they will be lined up against the wall and shot like everybody else. But in the meantime, the goal is the destruction of America. Russia and China are working together right now to take down the US dollar. Putin delayed his invasion of Ukraine so that Xi could have his moment of glory with the Olympics. You know, even though it was actually militarily disadvantageous to do so. China is thwarting Western sanctions right now on Russia. They are working together. They are working with the globalists, the enemy of both globalism and communism, which are two branches of the same movement, in my opinion, is a free independent, constitutional United States. And in every front, they're working to destroy us militarily, economically, socially, politically. Everything, you know, the Chinese attacked us with a biological weapon. Then pro-Chinese communists organized Black Lives Matter riots. Then pro-Chinese communists organized voter registration organizations in key swing states, the seven most contested states. The Chinese are flooding this country with their fentanyl, killing more people than died in the Vietnam War. But the good news is we can buy cheap crap in Walmart.
Okay, that was clip one of the source video from this webinar. Now, you want some examples, okay? There's something called elite capture, and that's what's been taking place in the United States for decades. Well, really, since Kissinger came in, opened up trade with China, with Nixon, but even before that, post-World War II. But having said that, this is another clip of Trevor Loudon before that one. And I'm playing these out of order because I'm trying to make a point here. People will say, well, I think that might be an overstatement. I don't think that we've got that big of a problem here. Show me some examples. Well, okay, here's Trevor Loudon, and I'll show you at least one, in this case, one example. And he gives you several, but here's one of those examples. Go ahead and play clip two from the video five.
One of the most egregious examples in the cabinet right now would have to be Deb Haaland, who was now Secretary of the Interior. She was a completely unknown congresswoman from New Mexico, second-term congresswoman, when she was tapped to become Secretary of the Interior, giving her oversight over 20% of the United States. And the key thing here is that the woman who mounted that campaign to make Deb Haaland well known and get her into that cabinet position is Judith LeBlanc. Judith LeBlanc mounted the Deb for the Interior campaign. She enlisted celebrities like Sarah Silverman and Mark Ruffalo and Cher and Gloria Steinem and Jane Fonda to mount this big campaign, and they did all this publicity, and they got Deb Haaland nominated, and she was confirmed. Well, Judith LeBlanc serves on the National Committee of the Communist Party USA, which is completely loyal to China and completely loyal to the Communist Party of the Russian Federation, which is allied very closely in the Russian parliament to Vladimir Putin. They follow his line, particularly over the Ukraine war. Now, the very first thing that Joe Biden did when he was elected was to cancel the famous Keystone Pipeline, because Native Americans had been protesting that pipeline. Well, those protests were organized by Judith LeBlanc of the Communist Party USA. She is a Native American. So the big problem we have in the world.
All right. So you've got what Trevor Loudon just said is in the Biden cabinet, Department of Interior. And this is a page under the second clip here. This is Deb Haaland. Now, she's a former state senator, of course. Essentially a member of the Communist Party. Now, not directly, but indirectly, being promoted by Judith LeBlanc. Now, Judith LeBlanc, as you dig deeper, of course, organized a campaign to get her nominated or get her in the position of the Department of Interior. And you can leave that up there. Why the Department of the Interior? Well, geez, what does the Department of Interior take care of? It takes care of a number of things. Have you ever wondered why, for example, and I wrote about this in the Wisconsin Christian News that's coming out now next week, I believe it is. But I wrote about this column in the Wisconsin Christian News. Biden recently decided to allow a Chinese company to own some 370 acres of land within 12 miles of the Grand Forks Air Force Base in North Dakota. That certainly could have ominous consequences for America. Have you ever wondered why China would purchase, by the way, purchase land in the U.S.? Consider that China is home to about 20% of the world's population, but has less than 9% of the world's productive farmland. And that's to feed their people. So what are they going to do for food? They're going to use ours. How? By elite capture. Remember that word. And, oh, I should add this. As of December 31st, 2020, Communist China owns 325,686 acres of U.S. farmland. Just 10 years prior to that, in 2010, China owned only 13,720 acres of agricultural land. So you have the Obama-O'Biden people, the elite capture of those people selling out America to Communist China. So there's your example. There's one for Harris and some other people pursuant to Trevor Loudon's research and my confirmation in drilling down. Now let's talk a little bit more about elite capture. This is clip 3 under video 5 in the show notes at HagmanReport.com. What's elite capture? I'm going to tell you right now, one of the most foremost investigators on this topic, as well as Biden, really America being a capture operation, Biden, Hunter Biden laptop, the fact that really all of the politicians in Washington and the elected as well as the unelected appointed people are sold out to foreign interests is Peter Schweizer. Here's Peter Schweizer in that same webinar. This is clip 3.
Taken on the global stage, and I always wondered why the United States is not taking a more proactive position in countering it. And what I realized is they have this strategy, they write about it openly, of elite capture. And it's brilliant if you think about it. Rather than go head-to-head with the United States, we're going to just basically buy off elements of its leadership class. Both political parties, people on Wall Street, people in Silicon Valley, people in Washington, D.C., and we're going to effectively decapitate their leadership by doing so. So that is elite capture. And it's important to point out, Frank, is they're not expecting these people they've captured to be robots. They understand they need political viability. So what they're looking for, loosely translated to English, is big help with a little bad mouth. So if you want to ding us on the Uyghurs, if you want to talk about human rights or Taiwan a little bit, that's okay. As long as you give us what we want, which is
access.
Yeah, exactly. The big things. Technology, access to markets, free trade. As long as you give us those
financing.
Financing, exactly. If you give us those things, you can pop off about the Uyghurs. We don't really care because ultimately we're going to win. And that's where we are.
And what do you think the Hunter Biden laptop showed? Why do you think the Hunter Biden laptop was such an issue? The Hunter Biden laptop showed the profits that the Biden crime family made by way of deals from Communist China, from Ukraine, from other countries. Biden sold this country out. Sam Faddis. Sam Faddis, former intelligence officer, going to round out the segments from this webinar with a clip from Sam Faddis. This, again, HagmanReport.com. Open up the program description box for today's episode, and the entire video is here. But this is clip number 4, Sam Faddis, former intelligence officer, kind of wrapping this up. Here it is.
If you are analyzing any issue concerning the United States and Communist China, how we're going to respond to a blockade or invasion of Taiwan or anything else, and you are not considering in that analysis as a key factor the fact that the Chinese, to one extent or the other, control a very large portion of all the most powerful sectors in our nation, you're sort of Your analysis cannot possibly be accurate. It's fundamentally flawed if you don't consider that. They're inside our perimeter. They own folks. And we should say that, look, some people are just acting in the interests of communist China because they're making a lot of money. And some people are acting in the interests of communist China because they're naive. This is a continuum, right? But when you're talking about intelligence operations, you are also talking about people that are formally recruited. And what that means is they are fully controlled by Beijing. You're not just saying, I could blackmail you, or I'm counting on the fact that you're kind of inclined to support my position. In this mix are also people that are formally tasked by and controlled by communist Chinese. That's what intelligence operations ultimately are all about. You recruit a guy and you control him. You look at the amount of money that has flowed to Joe Biden, and then look at every key national security appointment that he has made and their connections to the communist Chinese. What you see is something that literally threatens the Republic, and that's not hyperbole. I mean, you cannot say with certainty. I mean, first, you can certainly say that the man has been compromised. You can't say with certainty that he is not actually actively tasked by and controlled by the communist Chinese. And if you think about that, once upon a time, if we thought a GS-15 and CIA had been recruited by the Russians, that was such a threat, we would turn the place upside down hunting for the likes of Rick Ames. Now imagine that threat multiplied a million fold. That's what you're looking at.
All right. Interestingly, and by the way, that was Sam Faddis, former U.S. intelligence officer, knows what he's talking about. Okay. So now I said, consider all of this in the shadow of, or in the wake of, the McCarthy vote, the vote for Speaker of the House. Now, if you think back, Pelosi as Speaker of the House, and even Paul Ryan as Speaker of the House, that rhino, these people have benefited personally from selling out our national interests, including and especially to communist China. But to the globalist interest in communist China is part of that. So, this, I'm going to go to video three. House GOP's terrific 20 received concessions that McCarthy should have offered from the start. Think about this in the context of that globalist, of the elite capture of the globalists. Here it is. This is video three in the Hagmann Report show notes.
I want to bring in Frank Gaffney. Frank, you've been around a long time fighting this fight. Give us your assessment of what went down last night and how we can, what can we take away positive from that to go forward, sir?
A lot of things came out of it, Steve. I think the most important is the fact that you had that core, what I would call the super six, and the terrific 20, of which they were a part, that forced Kevin McCarthy to make concessions, as you've described with Mike Davis. They're important, but the thing that strikes me about them is they're the sorts of things that Kevin McCarthy should have offered up from the get-go. They were designed to restore a measure of representation in the House of Representatives, not just a speaker that tyrannically rules the place, to create accountability, to have a regular order of hearings in committees, making legislation, having them amending that legislation in committee and then on the floor. I mean, these are the sorts of things that were central to how the place operated until people like Paul Ryan and Nancy Pelosi, you know, took it as a personal fiefdom. And Kevin McCarthy wanted to have it run that way too. Now, I just want to put down a marker. Unless and until this rules package is passed, we better hold the champagne. I don't know whether games are going to be played. We saw Republicans switching on that vote to adjourn, and I think there's a lot of chafing on the moderate or establishment side. So the pressure needs to stay on, and I think this is really why it's so important that the war room be engaged continuing on this front.
Hold the champagne. That's right, because we expect that rules package to be in place. And part of that is, of course, holding, addressing elite capture, part of that. I'm not going to go through all the minutia, the granular details, but part of that is, in fact, just that. In fact, another clip from the same appearance on Steve Bannon, Frank Gaffney, talks about McCarthy's China Select Committee. They have to address the widespread elite capture by the Communist Chinese Party, because if you go back into 2020, and this is why it's, you got to really understand this. If you go back into 2020, 2021, with the response to the SARS-CoV-2 bioweapon release, the lockdowns, all of this mirrored Communist China tactics. Okay, the bioweapon came from Communist China. The actual jab juice, much of it, I believe, was manufactured in the Communist Chinese, some labs there. Some of it was manufactured there. I know we get a lot of pharmaceuticals and such from Communist China, which is absolutely insane, because our former representatives have allowed this. Our former congressmen, the senators, have allowed this. Listen to Frank Gaffney, video 4 on HagmanReport.com. Open up the show notes for today, and here's this clip, McCarthy on the China Select Committee. Here it is.
Frank Gaffney, you've been at this since the Reagan administration, Defense Department, and I realize a lot of people are got hurt feelings today, but to say, to have a Speaker of the House say, we're going to deal with the rise of the Chinese Communist Party, not China, not the Chinese people, but the Chinese Communist Party, puts the target right on them. And trust me, in Beijing, they're going, what did that guy just say? Tell me how, if this is to get effectuated, the Committee on the Present Danger, China, because it's just not about the kinetic war that we're facing. It's also about how we underwrite the Chinese Communist Party and the infiltration of this nation, the capital markets, big tech. These investigations, many of them are going to be inextricably linked. We talk about a church commission, you talk about the Hunter Biden laptop. A lot of these investigations are going to have a central locus to them, and that is the Chinese Communist Party, its influence here in the United States of America. First off, do you think the Republican Party means it? Are we going to just have another Benghazi? Is this going to be a Trey Gowdy performative where you do 12 hours with Hillary Clinton and then she just walks away scot-free and nothing ends up? You get a report 9 months later that nothing happens, Frank Gaffney? Or is this going to have real teeth in it, sir?
Steve, I think you've hit the key point on several of those topics. One is it really depends. A shortcoming of this package, which in many ways is very impressive, the rules package that has to be passed, is that it does not strengthen the oversight function. And let's face it, they can talk a lot about legislation. It's performative, as you like to say, unless they get the Senate to go along and the president to sign it. The budget is locked down, as you've pointed out endlessly, until at least the start of the fiscal year. But oversight is the key piece that they can do, that they must do. He's talked about it. It's sort of the leitmotif of what this effort to hold him accountable was all about, and yet it's not contained as it should be in the package. So to answer your question, we'll have an early test with this China Select Committee and possibly the Judiciary Committee, possibly the Oversight Committee. Will this speaker permit the chairman of those committees to investigate rigorously the very central threat that we're facing from the Chinese Communist Party, which is they've gotten their hooks into Wall Street, including outfits like Sequoia Capital, which isn't based in New York, it's based in Menlo Park, part of Kevin McCarthy's constituency in the broadest sense, whose president, founder, Neil Chen, by the way, Neil Chen, has just created in the past 6 months a $9 billion fund just to invest in Chinese startups. Like 900 companies in China are in his portfolio. 100 of them have $1 billion in equity. This is a guy who is deeply, in fact, get this, he's the sole venture capital industry representative on the Chinese People's Political Consultative Conference. I mean, this guy is deeply in bed with the Chinese Communist Party, and Sequoia Capital is, I think, an outfit that the Speaker of the House has been in bed with, too. So will he let each or better yet, all of these committees go there, explore this? Because we've got to stop underwriting the mortal threat we're facing from the Chinese Communist Party. And if we can't look at it, and by the way, the China Task Force that McCarthy set up 2 years ago didn't do that. They were going to, but they just didn't get around to it. I think that was because, like Benghazi, he told them, don't go there. He let them go there now. And if he won't, we're not going to actually root out this larger problem, which I think is true of him to some extent. It's certainly true of Mitch McConnell. It's absolutely true of Nancy Pelosi. And most especially, it's true of Joe Biden and a lot of his senior subordinates. Namely, they've been elite captured by the Chinese Communist Party. That can't be allowed to persist, or we're toast.
And there it is. Such an important clip. Okay, so the litmus test for McCarthy as Speaker of the House, are you going to allow a full and unfettered access to investigative documents and connections to the Communist Chinese Party? If not, we know we have a problem. That's why this was so important. That's why the 20 who stood up with the six remaining said, no, come on. This is a bunch of crap. The same boss or new boss, same as the old boss. No, this is the elite capture. This is how they are taking us over. All right, very quickly, you know, We know there are attacks on food, our food supply right now. I don't know if you've heard about this. I want to thank Bob Griswold at readymaderesources.com. Thank you so much, Bob, for bringing this to my attention. This is cattle mysteriously dying and disappearing across the United States. You're not going to believe this. You might, but this is mind-blowing. Let's go to segment one from this video YouTube video, Yanasa TV. And by the way, they've got, you can check them out. Extremely, extremely good material there. Go ahead and clip one.
Earlier this month, a small cattle farm in Colorado lost 80 head of cattle. 80 head. Now, to move 80 head of cattle, you would have to bring in a couple semi-trucks to be able to get those cattle out. This guy can see from his window, his kitchen window, his paddocks, okay? 80 head of cattle just went missing one day. 80 freaking head of cattle. It would take a serious operation to move 80 head of cattle. So he didn't actually call the police right away. He went around and checked everybody else's fields around him. They went out and searched for the 80 head of cattle. Now they're all branded. They're branded because it's how you keep track of your cows, especially when you got that many head of cows. They can't find the 80 head of cattle. They just disappeared. And without a trace, this is the weird part. There's no tire marks, nothing. I mean, they've chalked it up at this point in time to be cattle thieves, but they didn't even leave a trace. They didn't leave tire marks. How did they get the cows out of there? What they're saying is, you know, they came in on a full moon. It was windy the next day. The wind covered up the tracks. I don't know about all that. 80 head of cattle is a lot of cows to lose. Now, there had been some other cattle thefts in that area just the weekend before his cows were stolen. I think like four cows were stolen down the road. But we're talking four cows versus 80 cows. Okay, it takes a lot of planning to move 80 cows. Steve McEndry, the rightful owner of the cows, told KRDO News, this took a little bit of planning. They had to know the corrals were there. They had to see the cows right next to the corrals. It took two semis to haul them off. It was probably a three-man operation. Three-man operation and leave no trace. I think it actually probably took more than three guys to not leave a trace. I think three guys would have been too sloppy.
No, you steal 80 head of cattle, $100,000, uninsured, by the way, because, the insurance is oppressive, but 80 head of cattle. Think about that. Think about what it would take to corral, to move 80 head of cattle in the dark of night and leave not a trace behind. think about that in the context of the fires at the various food facilities. We are under attack, folks. I want to play another clip, a couple of clips from this as well. If we could play the second clip, go ahead and do that. This is only, 30 seconds.
The more that, you know, meat becomes valuable to the marketplace, the more cattle thefts seem to pick up. Of course, you know, where these people are going to store these cattle, these cows, and feed them. I mean, the 80 head of cows that came off this ranch came off of an 18,000 acre ranch. Okay, so where are you going to move these cows to? They're branded. You can't just take them to the marketplace and sell them. You know, do these people have a slaughterhouse? It's interesting.
All right, so you've got the elite capture, the globalist agenda, the elite capture, the depopulation agenda, the frantic Fauci denials you've seen. You've seen the globalist, the makeup of the globalist now. The war by the communists teaming up with the globalists, or the globalists using the communist apparatus as a as the mode and method to take over the United States in this elite capture. And you're seeing Biden as an asset of the Communist Chinese Party. Biden and Harris, who has her own trail of CCP ties. I want to show you this very briefly, this last piece. 110 Chinese police stations. This is a PDF. We've got a couple here, or we've got one here in the United States in New York City. 110 overseas Chinese transnational policing gone wild. Folks, if you look at the map on your screen, those are the countries, the colored countries, are the places where we have, there are communist Chinese police stations. My question to you is, what in the hell is a communist Chinese police station doing in the city of New York in the United States? It should be clear to everyone what the agenda is, who they are using, the globalists are using, to enforce their takeover, their elite capture of our country. America is a captured operation. We have to fight back. I will get into Brazil tomorrow. Brazil, about the chaos, the protest, the storming of the Capitol, because that's a lot of information there. You've got to understand what's going on in Brazil, what's gone on in Peru, but specifically Brazil, and how we... the same template that was used on January 6th has been used in Brazil. This fight is going hot. This fight will go kinetic. By the way, if you've heard that, you know, Putin is even closer to death, look, I don't know. I don't know if anyone knows. But the fact of the matter is, watch for that Ukrainian situation to heat up. Watch for China to act up over in Ukraine, because our leadership here in the United States has been captured by the Communist Chinese Party, by the globalists, by the Bill Gates, by the Klaus Schwabs of the world, by the globalists. That's what's going on right now. And if you think that everything is, you know, pretty and we don't have any problems, or the problems that we have can be fixed, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. They can be fixed, but the method of repair, I'm telling you right now, we need men and women of courage to stand firm. Thank you for listening to this program, watching this program on this Monday, January 9th, 2023. May God bless you. And thank you to the folks who joined me last night on our meeting, formerly our Patreon meeting, but on our meeting. God bless each and every one of you.